Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks is out today. Prosecutors and the defense put forward their closing arguments today in the federal trial of a Sudbury man accused of supporting terrorists. Tarek Mahana is charged with conspiring to kill in a foreign country and translating Al-Qaeda documents into English and posting them on the internet, an act that Mahana's attorneys claim is a protected form of speech. WBUR senior reporter David Boyeri has been following the case. He was in federal court in Boston today, and he joins me now. Hi there, David.
Hi, Magda.
So this charge of, quote, supporting terrorists, David, in closing arguments, how did federal prosecutors allege that Tarek Mahana actually did that?
Supporting terrorists is the concept of that is providing material support. What they have said all along is that Tarek Mahana served as the English wing, the English translation wing of Al-Qaeda in the West, that providing translation and subtitles for videos, translation of text, subtitle for videos, was essentially providing a service to Al-Qaeda. He did it in coordination with Al-Qaeda, they say, and furthermore, it incites people, they claim, to violence.
Hmm. But Mahana's defense team claims that those online postings, those translations, are nothing more than a form of protected speech, constitutionally protected. How was that argument addressed today?
Yes. You know, this has been going back and forth throughout the trial, and they claim it's free speech. What they're saying is he has opinions that people might not like, but the government's presented no evidence that anybody in Al-Qaeda asked him to do anything or ordered him to do anything. And that is the key here. What's interesting is see the prosecution's theory is that he and a friend went to Yemen mm-hmm. in 2004. They went there, according to the government, to find training, military training, because they wanted to go to Iraq to kill Americans in Iraq. They didn't find any training camps in Yemen. All the evidence is there were none since 2001. And then, out of frustration, he turned and realized he could serve Al-Qaeda, says the government, by becoming their English translation wing. This, the defense says, is patently absurd.
But the question is, have or could in jurors' eyes, which we can only know when they return their verdict, did Al-Qaeda order Mahana to do this?
See, the material witness law says that you cannot work with or in coordination with. Now, right there, in coordination with, that is the heart of it, because there is no evidence that he got orders or that he got a request. What is in coordination mean? That is the big question for jurors. And what the defense has been trying to say is he was a scholar that was seeking religious training and he was seeking language training. That's why he went to Yemen. That many of the things that the government found on his computer were IMs, the rantings of an immature person. Much of it is unpopular, but they said that he is a legitimate Muslim seeking religion and he's expressing his views. And in some of the translations, they pointed out, like 39 ways to help jihad, it's not a military manual. See, what the defense says here is there is no context. And this trial, 6 weeks, it started back in October, the end of October. It's pretty clear that we still don't, what is jihad? What is Al-Qaeda? What do they believe? What do they want? Is jihad acceptable? Is it all terrorism? The defense is saying the government has not presented this in context.
Nevertheless, there does seem to be this question of the kind of precedent that this verdict, when it comes down, could actually set regarding issues of free speech and quote-unquote material support of terrorism.
Yeah, that's true. And this is the first case that's taken it that far out into looking into translations and doing that sort of thing. We started this case, though. That was the big issue we thought when we started the case. But as it turns out, really, that much of the trial has focused on this business of going to Yemen mm-hmm. because the charge here is conspiring to kill overseas. And the prosecution made a big point of saying this, the war in Iraq, which is wound down, if they had succeeded, if we had failed in catching Tariq Mahana, there would have been fewer Americans coming home. So much of that, this trial has focused on that issue. And the defense has said, it's the irony is that as the troops come out of Iraq, this is one of the last items of business with that war, because here's somebody on trial because he didn't think America should have ever been there in the first place.
David, you were observing closing arguments today in federal court. Did the judge presiding over the case, did he issue any special instructions to the jury?
He instructed them in the charges before the closing arguments. And so when I left the courtroom after the government had given its final rebuttal close, he was going to instruct the jurors further, and they were expected to begin deliberations. There's still time in the day.
Mm. Do you have any sense from your many years covering these federal cases when we might see a verdict on this one?
This is, I have to say, this jury is one of the most diverse juries I've seen. They've been paying attention. It's interesting. They've been taking notes. But this issue is so complex. Again, you have different sects of Islam being described, different competing philosophies within Islam, different political and ethnic treatments. Then you get this whole ala podrida of Arab names, Abu Samara, Abu Zahra, back and forth. It is an incredibly complicated case. Some people would say that favors the defense, but this, I would be surprised if they come to a decision quickly. There's lots and lots on their plate. Perhaps the clearest thing, though, is this issue of lies to the FBI agents. It's a charge that's often filed in indictments, lying to an FBI agent. Three of the seven counts involve lying to FBI agents. And the question is, and the government perhaps has done its best job providing evidence for that. I mean, why the codes? Why all the surreptitious movements by Mahana? They had codes in his emails. They referred to Yemen as the YMCA. They referred to Pakistan as P-Town. They had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches meant fighting for Al-Qaeda. There's all this stuff, and the government saying it's part of the lie. And I think that they've presented their best evidence on that.
David Bureri is a senior reporter for WBUR, and he was at federal court today covering closing arguments in the trial of Tariq Mahana, the Sudbury resident accused of supporting terrorists. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Megda.
Well, stay with us, because coming up after the break, Steve Wynn doubles down on a casino in Foxborough while the roulette wheel of the GOP presidential primary keeps on spinning. It's all in our Week in Review. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.